And I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 16 this morning. Acts chapter 16. And of course, we're continuing our theme, getting close to the end now, of talking about the will of God. How many of you have learned something in this series? Raise your hand. Somebody learned something in this series? Okay. Most of the hands in here. And these are things that not only maybe you're hearing for the first time, but also, as you get a little older, hopefully these principles will be reminders to you, okay? And certainly we need reminders, which is why we look at the Word of God and we study the Word of God. There are those times where we're confronted with maybe truth for the first time that we've not seen or seen it in that way. And those are great moments, but all of us, including myself, need to be reminded of some things. And that's part of what we're doing and hope to accomplish in this series. I was thinking about a verse this past week in relation to our study, and I really think that this categorizes the excitement that we can have in regards to the will of God. Colossians chapter 2, in verse 2 and verse 3, listen to what it says, that their hearts might be conformed, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Then verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, the Christian life is so much like a treasure hunt. It really is. And discovering and hunting God's direction and His truth. And it's something that has everyday implications. You know, sometimes we may get fixated on something that is far out in front of us. It is God's will for, you know, whatever that may be that's far out in front of us. But really, the Lord, in Him, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge, God is continually revealing Himself to me every day. Whether it be through prayer, whether it be through the Scriptures, whether it be through some of the other means that we're going to talk about today. And really, we should have that type of attitude in relation to our friendship, our relationship with God, is that, hey, we're on a treasure hunt that is nothing like a search for monetary treasure, but has everything to do with those things that are most fulfilling to us as individuals and certainly as Christians. So that verse meant something to me as I was thinking about our study, the stuff that we've done in the past. Let me ask you this question. I need you to think just for a little bit. This is a little bit of a quiz here this morning, okay? True or false statement? Think through this with me, okay? God's will can be defined by what I like and don't like, okay? True or false? God's will can be defined by what I like and don't like. It's following my desires. True or false? Somebody raise your hand and tell me. Is that a true statement or a false statement? Okay, what do you think, Karen? I think it's false, okay? Okay, Karen believes that or thinks that statement may be false. Why? What's the thinking behind that? Why would that statement be false? Karen? Okay. All right. What would be, somebody give me a scripture proof for that. Can we think of anything? Andrew? Yeah. I think that's a great verse that supports this idea. Ethan? You think it's true? Okay, tell me why you think it's true. Can you tell me why you think it's true? Okay. Can you give me a scripture reference for that? Can we think of a scripture reference to that? Brother Matt? Okay, all right. So it would seem that these two verses contradict each other. Is that true? Okay. Having this discussion with Brother Matt, Karen, and Ethan, the rest of us are like, what? Okay. All right. I want you to think, okay? All right. This is what Sunday school is for, all right? You're supposed to be here. It's not so you can sit there and think about, what am I having for dinner? Okay, no. It's so you can think about the verses that we're going over. This is for you, okay? And it's for me too, but I've already spent the hours in study, okay? So the Lord's already worked on my heart. I want you to see this as something important for you as well. Okay, this is practical living. Okay, this is, hey, what is God's will for my life? These are important questions. So who could tell me? The question was, are these verses in contradiction to themselves? Okay, walk me through it. Walk me through it. Hey, Micah, I haven't seen your hand yet. Okay. Okay, so possibly the argument has to do with the definition of what it means to delight thyself also in the Lord. Is that what you're saying? So what does it mean to delight thyself in the Lord? Because if delight thyself, the truth is found in delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee as a result the desires of thy heart. Okay, so anybody have other thoughts in regards to this? Brother Matt? Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, so this was a tricky one, and I asked it because there's two sides to this coin. Exclusively, though, for a person that says, hey, if you want to find God's will for your life, then you just follow your own desires. Okay? If that is exclusive in that is the only argument, that is a false statement. Because what are some other ways that we determine the will of God? We've gone over them. Think back. Give me one, Micah. Huh? God's Word. So if my desires go contrary to the Word of God, what does that mean? It's not God's will. Exactly. Okay? Give me something else. What's another way that we determine God's will? Andrew. Okay, through our authority. Right. So, hey, I have this desire of my heart. Let's take Samson. Okay, Samson had a bunch of desires, didn't he? Yeah, he had a bunch of things that he wanted to do, and unfortunately, he did them in spite of what his authority, ultimately God, but then you look at what his parents wanted, and, you know, hey, please, Samson, don't go after these strange women, these Philistine ladies, don't go after them. He did, okay? And just because he had a desire for those ladies didn't mean that, oh, this must be God's will for me because I desire this, okay? But good thing, okay? In relation to our authority, we have to factor that in. There's something else we looked at in the past. What else? Mimi? Prayer, yes, okay? Lord, what is your will for me? Lord, I want to know your will. And we see instances of that and have traced to them in the Scripture, okay? So there are different levels involved here. It's not strictly end of the argument, what I like and what I don't like. That is the deciding factor in the will of God for me. I watched a video this past week that was put out by a prominent Christian organization, and that was the answer to how to determine the will of God. They said it comes down to what you like and what you don't like, okay? That's sad, in my opinion, okay? Because that can be part of the answer, because delight thyself also in the Lord, meaning, you know, sift everything through the Word of God first, and then He can many times bring about the desires of your heart. But that's not the answer that they gave. And I'm just saying that that's another illustration of how there's a lot of confusion about how to determine the will of God for your life. Okay? We can't take just an exclusive approach to one principle, lock in on it, and then ignore everything else. No, it's all encompassing. All right, we're going to continue on, all right? So we have looked at, in determining the specific will of God, we've looked at thus far. We're moving on to the next point here, but we talked about how God guides through the Bible. Second of all, we talked about how God guides through godly counsel. Have you sought out that counsel in relation to decisions that need to be made? That's a layer of God's Word. Number three, God guides through answered prayer. And number four, God guides through circumstances. God guides through circumstances. You're in Acts chapter 16 now, and I want to show you an event that took place that was changing, life-changing to an individual's life, okay? Somebody has once said that there are no circumstances in the Christian's life, okay? There are no things that we just look at and, oh, that's a coincidence, you know, that's just a fleeting thing. No, we serve a big God. And remember the truth of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, that He works all things to our good and to the bringing about of our growth in Christ. And so there's no coincidences for the Christian. And so that's another aspect of this. God works through circumstances that may occur in our life. Let me show you an illustration of that. Acts chapter 16. Notice with me here verse 16. See what it says here. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit, a divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men bring... being Jews, do exceedingly trouble in our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe," being Romans, verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And notice this, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, saying, verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword, would have killed himself, supposed that the prisoners had been fled. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do not thyself harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprung in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And we find that that house and that keeper come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. Now, what's interesting about this story is that one person could just stand back and say, "Well, you know, this was just a coincidence that all of this happened the way it did." But, you know, it goes back to the work of Satan using a disruptive lady in the marketplace who then drew attention to the officials, who then drew attention to Paul and Silas, and then ended up putting them in prison. And then all of this happening, God delivering them, and here's this keeper caught up in all of this, seeing it all play out before his eyes, and he ends up getting saved, including him and his house. Now, there were a bunch of circumstances that took place in here, but God used all of them to bring about salvation for this keeper and for his family. And the Lord is constantly using circumstances in the lives of other people and in the lives of in your life as well. Let me give you a few examples of this. When the Lord has directed us to move, He has always done it. He's always done it in just fascinating ways. And this can probably be categorized in two ways, best in my life that I can think of. And I remember when we were working at Ambassador Baptist College, and we were looking for an opportunity to get into church ministry and begin serving the Lord full-time in that capacity. And I remember praying about that, seeking the Lord's will about that and His timing and different things. And I was enjoying my time working at Ambassador, but I knew that that wasn't a permanent place that God wanted us. So while we were praying, Dr. Beal, he's come here and preached many times. He came to me and he said, I want to send you down to Florida to a Christian school conference to represent the college. And so the idea was that I would go down there and I would take a table from the college and add promotional material on there, and we'd reach out to juniors and seniors about, you know, what God wanted them to do and present the opportunity to go to Bible college. And so he came to me and he said, I'm interested in this. He said, I want you to consider going down. I said, okay, I'll do whatever you want me to do. He came back later that week and he said, you know what, I don't think we're going to do it. A couple months went by. He came back to me and he said, you know, I changed my mind. I think the Lord wants us to be represented down there. And I said, okay, that's fine. I said, where is it? He said, well, it's in Central Florida and it's at Calvary Baptist Church. I said, oh, that's interesting. I grew up in that church. He said, oh, you did? I said, yeah, I did. I said, I haven't been there in a while. We had left the church when I got older, and kind of interested to see what's going on there. So anyway, long story short, Christine and I went down there. We spent some time there at the church, standing behind the table. There were a lot of folks that had come up through there that I didn't know and that were new to the church, including the pastor and some staff that I'd never met. But while I was there, after having a few conversations with the pastor, he surprisingly said, hey, I'd like to take you out to lunch. We went out to lunch, and there he said, hey, it just so happens that we're in need of a youth pastor. He said, how would you like to come back to your home church and youth pastor? And I was shocked because, number one, it had always been a dream of mine to youth pastor in the place that had such an influence on me. And if you've ever been called to the ministry, or you feel like God's working in your heart that about ministry, sometimes that can be a pretty neat opportunity. And so it was sort of meeting with the desires that I had in my heart, but we continue to pray about it. Over the course of time, God would continue to confirm in different ways that that was the direction He was leading us, and we would go down for a few years in Florida. Fast forward to just a few years ago, 3.5 to be exact, to when God would move us again. And we were in a situation down there where the youth group was going very well. We were very thankful for the growth that we had experienced in numerically, but also in the lives of the teenagers that were there. And the Lord was beginning to put some pieces together. Whoa, is that my Siri?
I don't understand. We experienced it, and numerically, also in the lives of the teenagers that were there, and on the Lord was the end. But I could search.
Wow. Siri's listening well today, isn't she? That's hilarious. I turned that function off. I don't know how it's on now. But, every now and then I give somebody my phone to take a picture, so I don't know, maybe they're getting in there. But at any rate, minus the distraction, back to the story. We began seeking the Lord's will for our next step because of some other factors that were going on. Years before, I had come here to Temple with a team from the college that I went to. We were here. I preached in the chapel. This was a long time ago. None of you were here. I had always remembered this place for several reasons, but one was because I stayed at Dr. Dalton's house. We stayed at his house that night, and I never got over the fact of the fellowship that we had, number one, but number two, of all of the things that he mentioned about this place. Now, I had been to a bunch of different churches. I traveled for 4 summers for my college. And we were in a different church every night from California all the way to the East Coast. And so I had been in a lot of churches, but this church always stood out to me because of those conversations that I had with Dr. Dalton and about Pastor Pittman. Anyway, fast forward to now, we're looking for the next step for God that God has for us down in Florida. And we're trying to put some pieces together and that sort of thing. And circumstantially, I get a call from Brother Brandon. Okay, now Brother Brandon, I didn't know Brother Brandon outside of hearing his name. He graduated from Ambassador. He was a little before my time and that sort of thing. But anyway, he called me up. We began to have some conversations. And I told him, you know, we haven't been here all that long in Florida. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what His will is, but I'm going to continue to pray. And the Lord, over the course of the period of the next, it was about 4 or 5 months, the Lord had some convincing to do in our hearts, but again, He used circumstances. The fact that my team got called here all those years ago and put me in the house of Brother Sam, who would have conversations just circumstantially. But again, I'm just telling you this, that God uses circumstances to bring about His will in our life. Okay, but with that, I give you this warning. Some people want to just look at circumstances to determine God's will. Okay, and again, that's a mistake because it's all encompassing, right? God uses prayer. God uses godly counsel. He uses His word, and He does use circumstances as well in our lives. Okay, but not exclusive circumstances. Let me give you an illustration. From time to time, you guys are about to get into this. Some of you seniors that are in here, you'll be interested in filling out an application for colleges. And what happens sometimes is seniors make a mistake sometimes when they say, "Well, I'm going to submit an application, and if I get accepted to this college, then I'm going to go there, okay, exclusively." Okay, I realize what you're doing in that situation, but remember, God uses this, prayer, counsel. He uses a lot of other things. You're zeroing in on one situation. Okay, now, understand that a college wants your business. Okay, they are an educated facility for certain, but at the same time, they want everybody that they can get to come to their college as long as they have room. Okay, so you and I have to guard our hearts in that. Okay, seniors, we have to say, okay, I'm going to submit to this college. If I get accepted, well, that's great. Okay, that means I can go there and enter the property. Okay, but the real question is, even though I've been accepted there, Lord, what is your will for me? Where do you want me to go? So you see, it's all in relation to the all-encompassing things that we see in God's word about His will specifically. But you say, really, Scott, does God use circumstances in our lives to direct us? Yeah, He absolutely does. But just because a circumstance occurs doesn't mean that it is written in stone, God's will for me. You know, I remember some guys in college that were really wanting to get married. And they would come back to the dorm and they'd say, "Scott, you'll never guess. When I got to dinner, it just so happens that I was in line with her. I think it's God's will." I mean, it was almost as clear as if somebody just smacked me in the face. And she did. No. But that, I mean, and now that's an illustration though of somebody saying, "Hey, you know, this is God's will," right? And if you would have asked that girl, she would have been like, "Him? What? Ooh." Okay. You know, but listen, we've got to keep things in perspective. And in connection to Jeremiah chapter 7, the heart is deceitful above all else, desperately wicked, okay? We have to keep that in perspective. God does lead through circumstances, but He leads through prayer, counsel, His word. We're going to notice a couple of others, and then we'll be done with our series. Lord, thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, I thank You that there's no coincidences in our lives, Father. There's nothing that happens that we look at and just say, "Lord, I guess that was just good luck or bad luck, Father." We understand as Christians, there's no such thing, Father. You are using all things for our good and, Lord, for our growth in You. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us. Help us to see Your will, Lord, today for us clearly. And, Lord, help us to see Your will for the future clearly. And Lord, I pray that You would cement these truths, these principles on our heart. Lord, thank You for the way that You lead us. And Lord, it is indeed a delight to us to be able to follow You and, Lord, to determine Your will for us and whom, Lord, are the treasures, Father, of wisdom and knowledge. Lord, we seek, Lord, after You. Lord, give us a good morning message. Lord, be with Pastor as he preaches. May our ears be open to the truth again. In Your name, amen.